You can begin taking your Bibles this morning, if you will. Go all the way to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, be finding chapter 3 in that book. And while you're turning there, let me share with you what God wants to address with us today is the great problem among Christians. And so if you count yourself as a Christian, your great problem is a ho-hum Christianity. It is yawning in the face of God because there is no fire, there is no zeal, and no enthusiasm for the things of God. And the great tragedy is a half-hearted church in a hell-bent world. Please rise with me as we honor God with the reading of His Word in Revelation chapter 3. Beginning in verse 14, if you're there, say amen. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness did not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty God, here in this church this morning, every one of us has two ears. Lord, I pray that this morning each and every one of us has that ear that you say that we'll hear. Lord, that ear that hears is the ear that takes your word right into the heart. And Lord, as your servant, all I can do is take your message to the ears of the people. But Father, we need the Holy Spirit to take it where it'll do them the most good, and that is right to the heart. Lord, I pray today for this church service, for those who are here, those who are listening online, that we would all be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Lord, when you speak, your word never goes out void, and you send it out that we might apply it, that we might profit. So Lord, today I pray that each and every one of us who's within earshot of this message, that we would profit as you would have us to profit today. And Lord, help us to live the life that you have called us to live with a holy fire, a holy zeal. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, friend, I want you to know this morning that this is not what God has said in time past, and I pray you'll keep your Bible open this morning. This passage that we read this morning is the state of the church before the return for her of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God is saying about the church in this present age, and it is what God is saying to each of us personally. Now, the church is not this beautiful building. The church is you, and the church is me. We are the church in this world. We are the church. When you look at our world, it's a, how many of you would agree? This is a hell-bent world, amen? And God is going to speak to us this morning about the cause of lukewarmness, about the curse of lukewarmness, and then, hallelujah, about the cure for lukewarmness. And I'm going to start with the cause of lukewarmness. Look again at verse 17 here in our text. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The cause of the Laodiceans' indifference was caused by their ignorance. You see, like many Christians living in this Laodicean age of the church, they didn't even know what their need was. And it's sad to say, but you may be among that crowd today. You don't even know what your need is. And the cause of their lukewarmness is summed up in two ways. Because you say, and you don't know. You say, I am rich and have need of nothing. And Jesus says, you don't even know that you are poor, wretched, blind, and naked. He's simply pointing out that the lukewarm Christian is generally the last person to know that they're lukewarm. None are as so blind as those who will not see, and none are as deaf as those who have ears, but they will not hear. That's the reason Jesus says here in verse 22, he that hath an ear, what's it say, church? Let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. The Laodiceans God wants us to know are like so many Christians today. They're just self-satisfied. I prayed that prayer. I'm good. I went to church. I'm good. I'm good. I can't tell you the number of times I meet people and they know I'm the pastor and I say, well, how are you doing today? I'm good. In other words, back off. Don't ask me any questions. I'm good. Laodicea was famous for three things: its wool, its wealth in gold, and for its famous medical center for the treatment of blindness. But note what Jesus says to them here in verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou what, church? He's making a play on words here. In other words, Jesus is saying, in spite of your wool, in spite of your wealth, and in spite of your medicine, you need a holy fire. Well, how did their self-satisfaction, their complacency begin? By the grace. You see, people cool down by the grace. I want you for a moment to think of your own life. To think about that time, the moment you got saved and how excited you were, how on fire you were. Where are you today? You see, people cool down by the grace. And look with me at the first church. Turn, if you will, back over to Revelation chapter 2. And I want to read here. Jesus is addressing this church here at Ephesus. And I want you to note, and we're going to use this, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works. Well, I want you to understand something. Every one of these churches, Jesus says, I know thy works. And Jesus is in this house this morning, and Jesus is looking at me, and he's looking at you, and he says, I know who you are. I know what you do. I know your works. And thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Jesus is addressing the church here at Ephesus, and he spoke about their programs and their power and their purity, but he had one thing against them. It's in verse 4. Look at that with me, if you will. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first what? They left their first love. And this is why Jesus chastened them. They were not chastised because they didn't love the Lord. They were chastised because they left their first love. Now, we all know first love is enthusiastic. The first love is reckless. First love doesn't even count the cost. First love says, I love you with all of my heart and my soul. But you got to keep that love growing and going. Somebody has said the honeymoon is that period of time between when you say, I do, and then you say, you'd better. Well, let's just use this. If you don't love your spouse more today than you did on the day you first got married, well, what does that mean? It means that you love him or her less. That's what it means. And the point is this, how sad it is when people, when Christians, leave their first love. Somebody said the average church today is so lukewarm, you've got to backslide to be in the fellowship. Let me ask you a question. Was there ever a time when you loved the Lord Jesus more than you do right now? And if so, then to that degree, you are backslidden. To that degree, you are cooling down by degrees. You have moved away from God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't move. Friend, you have moved. God help us if we have moved. We ought to be moving closer to God, not away from God, especially in this hell-bent world in which we're living. And listen, if you're cooling down by degrees, it's not going to be long before you're room temperature. And you know what a lot of people do? They're sitting out there where you're sitting. They might be sitting on this side. They look across at that side. And this side looks across at that side. And they say, well, you know what? I must be all right. I look just like them other people. Friend, if you were on fire for Jesus, do you know you'd look different? You'd look odd. People would think you out your mind. How do you become lukewarm? Jesus tells us here. You begin by assuming you're all right. I'm rich, got need of nothing. I'm okay. You're not just cooling down by degrees. You're moving away from God. Well, that's the cause. Now let's look at the curse. Look with me again. We're going to spend a little time here, verse 14 in our text. Chapter 3, for those of you who are following along, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Well, what does the phrase Amen mean? It means it is so or so be it. So this is the factual Jesus Christ speaking to us. And he doesn't just say amen, friend. He is the amen. Whatever Jesus says, we can bank on because Jesus does not lie. And hallelujah for that because he comes to church to tell us what we need to know. He doesn't come to church to pat you on the back and say, there, there, just do what you're doing. You're going to be all right. Just remember to return next week and bring an offering. No, that's not Jesus. Jesus tells it like it is. Hallelujah. He's the factual Jesus. He's the faithful Jesus. He's the forceful one. Look with me at verse 16, which contains a strong warning. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What is the sin? Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness is just a little too cold to be hot and just a little too hot to freeze. And friends, it's the most prevalent sin in the church today. And I want you to know, Jesus is not speaking here to Christ rejecters. He's not speaking here to Christ haters. Nor is he speaking to those who may be among us who have a burning passion to grow closer to God. And I hope you're in that camp. That you want to be closer to Jesus. Closer now than ever before. Jesus is speaking to those in between. Now you know who you are. You're satisfied. You're half-hearted. And this pastor has pastored long enough. I've been pastoring now for a while, praise the Lord, long enough to know that most people who attend church fall into this category. How do you know if you're lukewarm? Well, we're going to examine seven areas here this morning of our Christian life. You examine yourself because I know God is examining you and I right now. I'm in this too. This is for all of us, amen? And so the first area is sanctification. That's holiness. And many Christians feel about holiness like the little girl who prayed, Lord, make me good. Not too good, and just good enough not to get a spanking. You see, many Christians think holiness is old-fashioned. Never mind that we are commanded to be holy, because God says, be holy, for I am holy. That is a command. It's given over 8 times in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, be ye holy. Now, the B.E. lets us know it's a command, it's not a suggestion, it's not you think about it and then make up your own mind. No, it's a command. You and I are to be holy. Why? Because God is holy. And so, what we have are a lot of Christians whom Jesus knew about that had this kind of indifference to holiness. And Jesus said in Mark 7:6, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have a desire to be personally holy before God? Do you have a desire to honor God with your life? Is there a daily burning passion in your heart for purity and holiness? The reason I ask is because most churches are filled with people who live right on the edge of personal holiness. They don't tell out-and-out lies, they just tell little white lies. For example, they'll see someone they do not like on the street and they say, well, glad to see you. A friend comes to them and says, I need prayer. Well, I'm going to pray for you. But they never do. They don't steal, but neither do they pay their debts. They don't commit adultery, but they laugh at filthy jokes and entertain themselves with lasciviousness on television. They think it's funny. They think it's all right. It isn't all right because we are commanded to be holy because God is holy. Well, that's area number one, sanctification. Area number two is service. Where are the Sunday school Bible teachers who are so burdened for their classes that they weep in prayer over each member? Where are the Christians who are reaching out to their unsaved friends and neighbors? Where are the church members who will take a green card to the gym or the grocery store, to Walmart, Virginia, and invite people they meet to church? Where are the preachers who preach with a burning fire in their hearts? Third area is singing. Do you know the most important thing about a song is not that it's perfect, but that it's sung in the Spirit? And no person should sing in our choir who isn't Spirit-filled. The requirement for singing is simply this. Ephesians 5:18-19, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You know, this church, that's you and me, we ought to be singing with gladness, with urgency and fervency and with tears, and our singing should bless people, it should exhort people, and it should warn people. Friend, never forget, the only person who can worship God with singing from your seat is you. And if you're not singing unto the Lord, do you know what you're doing when you stand up and keep your mouth shut? You're sinning against the Lord, because God is worthy of worship and praise. And the fourth area is Bible reading. Do you truly love the Word of God? Do you hunger for more of the Word? Are you aware that many Christians believe the Bible in general, just not with specificity? From observing from my years in ministry, I'd venture that many sitting here today, many who are listening online, have never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation all the way through at least once. Even though the whole Bible can be read in 10 months just by reading 4 chapters a day, every Sunday school teacher, every deacon, and every pastor in this church ought to have read through the Bible at least once. Do you know the number one reason people give me for not reading the Bible? Grab the edge of your seat. Hang on. "Well, Pastor, I just don't have the time." You don't have the time. You mean to tell me one day when you stand before Almighty God, and He says, "I gave you my word, I gave you my instruction book," you're going to look in the face of Almighty God and say, "Well, God, you know, I just didn't have the time." Whew. And yet, you who claim you don't have the time are going to go home and you're going to spend hours surfing the internet. You're going to be watching television. Without a doubt, there's going to be some in this crowd today who are going to be watching football games or some other thing. And you're going to read some other book. And do you know you spend more time with things you do not believe than with the thing you say you do believe? And you're going to tell God you don't have the time? Friend, too many Christians are lukewarm when it comes to the Bible. And the truth is, and the proof is, that we do not love God as we should, but we tell God we don't have the time. Well, the fifth area is supplication. So many churches and people in churches around the world are lukewarm when it comes to prayer. Would you agree with this statement? The average Christian doesn't spend 10 minutes a day in prayer interceding on behalf of others. Let me ask you, church, look around you this morning. How many of you prayed for everybody else who does not hold your name this week? That they might be filled with all the wisdom of God, that they might walk worthy of their high calling in Christ. When's the last time you missed a meal to pray? When's the last time you missed sleep to pray? The devil looks at the modern church of our day and he laughs at us. He says, "Go ahead, have your big church. Have your disagreements over the music, argue all you want, demand your comforts, demand your preferences. You can have it all as long as you don't pray. We really don't have to wonder why we're so quick to settle for what's good instead of what's best. Where is the earnest, heartfelt, consistent prayer that goes before Almighty God that will not take no for an answer? Where are the days gone when parents and grandparents and deacons and pastors would lay on the altar and they would cry and they would pray, God save my family! God save my children! God, I'm not leaving here until you answer my prayers. Well, we're just too busy, aren't we? Where is it? Sitting at home on a Wednesday night, in creature comfort, unconcerned about the needs of others in intercessory prayer. Oh, how we need to learn how to pray. We need to get back in the church on Wednesday nights and have prayer meetings, not a Bible study. Would to God that we were fulfilling God's word. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And then the sixth area, sacrifice. How many Christians do you know who sacrifice their lives daily for the glory of God and the saving of souls? Sacrifice is simply laying down your daily life for God's use. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, friend, are you embarrassed and ashamed of Jesus Christ that you don't bring Him up in your conversations in public? There you are talking to somebody. You know they don't have Jesus in their life. You're talking about last week's football game. You're talking about some other thing. You're talking about everything but what they need, and what they need is Jesus. And you're ashamed to bring Him up. Does Jesus Christ get all of you? Does He have all of you this morning? You know, a lot of people just get up to go to church, but we're to come to worship. There's a difference. We ought not to go to church. We ought to come to worship. We ought to give Him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, and say, Hallelujah, God, thank You for another Sunday I can be in the church praising You with all that I am, because You're all that I need. Church, my heart weeps. There ain't much time left. The world is getting darker, amen? And we become more complacent. And then we wonder why no one wants to come to Jesus. Don't invite people to church. That's a waste of time. Invite them to come to Jesus, because Jesus will bring them to the church. Does Jesus get all of you, or just a piece? You're willing to serve unless you're going to be inconvenienced, because your thing comes before His thing. Francis Havergill wrote this pledge in a song we sing occasionally. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. What do we do instead? We use our voices in compromising testimonies. We pass on opportunities to tell others about Jesus, even when our heart is pounding and the Holy Spirit is saying, speak to them, speak to them. No, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. We use our intellect for our own power and our own glory. We give without sacrifice. We witness without tears. Is it any wonder we sow what we are reaping? And then that seventh area, soul winning. Do you have a passion for those in your circle of influence who are doomed to hell without Jesus Christ. The Great Commission wasn't given to the preacher. It was given to all of us. We are to be about our Father's business. We have a solemn responsibility and a glorious privilege to share the gospel. But if you're like the average Christian in today's world, you're not doing it. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you shared the gospel? And what does Jesus say to us? I wish you were cold or hot. Friends, Jesus would rather have you against Him than to pretend to love Him with a lukewarm heart. Lukewarm Christians have done more to harm the cause of the church and of Jesus Christ than all the prostitutes, pornographers, and drug pushers in the world today. Lukewarm Christians are the alibi of sinners. They double-cross Jesus Christ. Jesus would rather have you on the wrong side of the fence than sitting on it. Lukewarmness is the worst form of blasphemy there is. A lukewarm Christian says, I believe in you, Jesus, but you just do not excite me. And so while I believe in you, I'm not going to serve you with all of my heart. I'm not going to love you with all of my soul. I'm not going to do any of those things. What an insult it is to yawn in the face of Almighty God. Now, why is lukewarmness so harmful? Because it sets you and I up for other sins. You realize that a lukewarm Christian is a sitting duck for the devil. And friend, if you were as deeply in love with Jesus Christ as you claim to be, you wouldn't be cooling down by degrees and running around with the devil most of the week. That's just the facts. Well, how'd you do? Did you examine yourself? Because God did. And as sure as I'm standing here, I can tell you that God is speaking to your heart about your faithfulness or lack thereof in every one of those areas. And He's speaking to mine too. Now let's move quickly to the cure for lukewarmness. Look again at verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Friends, the Laodiceans needed to buy the gold of God's glory that had been through the fire. They needed the garments of God's righteousness. They thought they were clothed as they came into church, looking so fine, but God said they were naked. How many of you remember the Hans Christian Andersen story, The Emperor's New Clothes? Well, a couple of conniving men pretend to be tailors. Knowing the king's vanity about his clothes, they began a scheme to weave invisible garments. And the king bought into it. He took off all of his clothes and he put on the invisible suit and he walked in a royal procession down the streets to show everyone his new clothes. And at first everybody was exclaiming, oh, look at the king, look what he's wearing. Isn't it wonderful? And then a little boy piped up and said, look at the king! He's altogether as naked as I was the day I was born. Well, friend, you add up everything money cannot buy and that death cannot take away. And that's how rich you really are. What happens to someone who's lukewarm? Hallelujah. God loves you. Look at verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke, and what, church? Be zealous, therefore, and do what, church? Ask yourself right now, do I love God with all my heart? If not, am I willing to repent? Now, if you don't love God, listen, God has confronted you this morning. God says he will rebuke and chasten you because he loves you. What a loving God we have. No one gets to waltz into heaven in a lukewarm condition. Because God is going to meet you somewhere along your life's journey. And I believe God has met us here this morning. And God is telling you, get hot. Get on fire. Repent. Get your heart right. Be about your Father's business. Lukewarmness is not a weakness. It is wickedness. And it's not a small sin. It's a great sin. The commandment, we all know, the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, which makes the greatest sin not to do so. And in these last days, the Lord Jesus Christ said lukewarmness will be the condition of the average church. I don't know about you, church. I don't want to be an average church. I want to be a Jesus church. What about you? Oh, I want to be on fire for Jesus. I want to see people come and get saved. I want to see people repent. I want to see people's hearts get right. Can you just imagine if we all left here today on fire for Jesus and charged out the doors, what would happen in our community this week and how many more people would be here in church next week? Whew. See, Jesus is speaking to you. He's speaking to me, and that's why we find Jesus knocking on the door of the church. Don't ever think he's knocking on the door of some unsaved person. He says he's knocking on the door of the church. And he's speaking to the church, those in the church who are lukewarm. Oh, what a loving Lord we have, amen? Hallelujah, amen? He loves us. He's not going to leave us where we're at. He wants to take us to where he is. He wants us to be all that we should be in this world today for him. Hallelujah. You see, friend, he loves you so much, he isn't going to leave you where you are. So get off the fence and get going with Jesus. Amen? Don't let this holy moment pass you by. Will you open your heart? Will you let him in? Will you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today? Oh, Father, your word has spoken to us. As Brother Marty comes to lead, Lord, there's no words that I can add. For Lord, I believe that your word never goes out void. You tell me that in your word. And Lord, I know you're dealing with hearts right now. And Lord, I pray that we would have a holy boldness to do what you would have us to do, and that is to repent, to get our hearts right with you, to cry out unto you because you love us so. Oh, God, Jesus died for us. Oh, friend, is the life you're worth living right now, is that life worth Jesus dying for? If you got all you could have right now, would Jesus be first? Lord God, move among us today as you have never moved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.